life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Broads, this episode is sponsored by Stamps.com. There is nothing more valuable than your time, so why would you waste even 1 second of it at the post office when you really don't have to? That's right. Thanks to Stamps.com, you can forget going to the post office altogether.
That's because when you use Stamps.com, the post office comes to you. You can do everything you would normally need to do in person right from your home computer. You can compare shipping rates and speeds, create labels, and schedule pickups all from your living room.
And on top of saving time, Stamps.com will also save you money because you'll get access to special savings like 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS rates.
Stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code CHATTY for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click at the mic at the top of the homepage, and enter code CHATTY.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Un, deux, trois.
What do you think?
It doesn't have the bite. It's very smooth. Like, it's very, like, relaxed. Mm-hmm. We're drinking hams. I don't even know what this is, but he brought in the hams. I love it.
America's classic premium beer, born in the land of sky blue waters.
Oh, I like the branding. The vibe is very cool.
How tight is that? Brewed in true family tradition from purest water and choicest barley malt grain and hops.
It's like so easy. There's no bite to it.
So Evan was making fun of me because he'd never heard of hams, and he was like, why did you choose this? And I was like, well, because this was a $4 six pack and Miller Lite was $6.99.
I mean, that's almost double.
Almost double, but he was teasing me because Beck and I just had a nice little couples dinner, and he was like, you're about to drop on your couples dinner and then you're going to squabble over $3 on the six pack.
But it's a nice surprise, I will say.
Hams is good, dude. This was my college brew. 1865, college brew? Dude. Since the Civil War.
That's actually kind of crazy.
That's insane.
I'm sure it looked a little different back in the day.
It's actually really cool.
It was like in a barrel.
Yeah. Room temp, too. Now it's only good if it's fucking cold.
What's your favorite beer?
PBR and Bud Heavy.
Oh, those are good.
Pretty good. Hams is up there. Old German. Like, I don't know. Miller High Life. Cheap American lagers. I like rice beers. I don't know. I'm like, it's funny I went to college in Portland, and at the time was the microbrewery capital of America.
Of course. Especially during like college for us, dude. It was like
totally at that time.
Everything was IPAs and
dude, coming back to LA, the only like craft beer that was on tap was Lagunitas.
Oh yeah.
Or like Sierra Nevada. That was,
remember Stone?
Yeah, that was the stuff that was on tap. It wasn't like all of these different companies that everyone was like fighting over to get like their kegs and breweries everywhere. That was like a Pacific Northwest experience. And then I remember having these conversations with my friends where they're like, dude, we're like supposed to like all this fancy beer. It's like, we don't actually like it. He's like, I like Budweiser. And I was like, dude, I am with you.
I love the light beers now, but I will say when I was 22, I liked the IPAs because it would get you drunk fast.
Yeah.
So if you went to one of those nice spots and you pounded an IPA, you'd be like wasted in two beers.
Do you know what I drank when I was younger if I wanted to get drunk?
Huh.
Steel Reserve or Mickey's or like Old English or fucking like
brutal.
All the 40s, King Cobra. Like,
but you had to drink a lot of it.
That was high school.
Edward
40 Hands?
Edward 40 Hands.
Yeah, I never played. I had at least self-control not to do that. Because I was like, man, I definitely don't want to be that kid who's like too drunk with 40s taped to his hands.
Were those kids. I mean, let's be real. Like, maybe we didn't have the taped hands, but like we were whatever equivalent there was.
I was the kid like walking into CVS with my sweatshirt. You'd have your hands in the pockets. So there's room between like your chest and stomach and like where your hands are. And I would take handles and shove it up my sweatshirt and hold it underneath my hand. I'd put two handles under my sweatshirt and then just walk out. You couldn't tell that there were two handles under there. And if all the hard alcohol had caps on it, that's when I would steal like a couple of 40s.
Would you buy anything though to kind of make it look
not
like-
at all?
I would imagine if you're like a store owner and you see like a kid walk in, look around, kind of disappear for a second, then walk out with their hands like in their shirt. Like they're like the kid stealing something.
No, the hands weren't in my shirt. My hands were just in my pocket. I just looked like I walked in and I'd walk out. It didn't look like we had anything.
Now, question. Was this? Yeah. So was this because you were a broke teenager, or was this for the thrill?
Both. Also, how are you going to buy that much? I mean, like, beer didn't make sense financially for like high school kids. Like if you're going to pay someone to go buy you alcohol, buy hard alcohol.
Right.
Beer is not going to get like $20 worth of beer isn't going to get you nearly as drunk as $20 worth of vodka.
Of course. Of course. I just wasn't sure if it was like, it was more for the experience of theft.
Part of it was that there was a definite thrill.
That's what I'm saying. Like, realistically, you probably could have asked your mom
for practicality to it.
For me, the drinking was always like a friend's house. They did, you know, like the parents just had booze and it was just like, you just grab a bunch. I never resorted to theft. I'm trying to think if I ever stole anything. I mean, I stole maybe some packs of gums, but like I never actually committed like
packs of gums.
That's what I mean. Like I was like six, you know what I mean? And I'd grab it and then like my mom would know, you know, but I'm trying to think if I ever like actually stole anything. I don't think I ever did.
I went through a phase when I was
theft phase
when I was a little kid. Yeah. Like when I was like a really little kid, like so sus, but like stealing Pokemon cards from my friends.
Sure. Oh, from stuff, your friends.
Yeah, stuff like that.
you weren't stealing from the man. You were stealing from your loved ones.
But that was when I was like, eight, and then that didn't, you know.
Did you get busted? Like, did your mom be like, hey, where did these come from?
I got busted by my friend's mom.
Oh.
Stealing from my friend, and there was like an intervention. That was really embarrassing. That was a really tough one to recover from. That never really fully recovered, but. Shoplifting never really came into full effect till it was like high school parties. And it was like, there was kind of a thing, like if you wanted to party, you had to steal the alcohol.
Yeah.
And there was like a group of people that like kind of knew how to steal alcohol.
Yeah.
And that was like, you know, I remember my friend got caught. My friend got caught and he got taken into like the back security room.
Mm.
And it was this moment of like, what are you guys actually gonna do?
Right. He's 16. Like,
yeah, you can't do anything. Like, what are the cops aren't gonna do anything about it? The store can't do anything about it. They just like called his parents and his parents were just like, you're a fucking idiot. And that was kind of the end of that.
Okay. So let me ask you this then. You're a parent. If Ruth's 16, and she gets busted for stealing booze. Do you tell her, because you're realizing now, like she wants to party and you telling her she can't is not going to work.
No.
Do you become the, if you're going to party at my house, or do you try to lay down the law and say you're too young to be partying, or do you just let her figure it out? Like what's the move?
I have no idea.
Because 16's young. 18's one thing. 19, 20, you're kind of in that realm now. But 15, 16, dude, like, you're still a baby.
I'd be more like, let's talk about alcohol. And I'd be more so right. Like, why are you... Like, me looking back on that stuff, I'm more so like, there were a lot of situations where I was being the I was the one in the risky situation. It's like when you say like, oh, there's a group of friends, like what I was just saying, oh, there's a group of people who know how to steal alcohol.
Yeah.
It's like, well, because everyone else isn't putting them in the position, putting themselves in the position to go steal alcohol.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like they don't want to risk it. But it's also like when I was at that age, I was like, well, dude, like there's no reward without the risk in a certain way. Like we're all just going to sit at home with our thumbs up our butts if we don't, like someone doesn't go out and do this.
We got to take action.
So like who's going to do it? You know, it's like, and there's also, I mean, we were watching movies where that was like sort of, you were taught like if you want to party in high school, you kind of have to do this. You have like a handful of avenues.
Yeah. Did you play sports as a kid?
Yeah.
What would you play?
I played
well, no, like junior high, high school.
Junior high and high school. Well, high school I was on swim team and water polo. And then like junior high, I mean, like I hardly count.
Right.
Because like school sports didn't mean as much in middle school.
Sure, there were. Yeah, yeah.
High school
was
pretty much. I was on the water polo team and swim team.
Water polo team and swim team. Yeah, because I do know that like different sports partied differently.
Yeah, we partied for sure.
Right, because like different sports were kind of a different thing. Like football partied, but there also was a seriousness to them depending on how good you were.
Mm-hmm.
Same with hockey. It was like middle bench, lower bench partied harder than first line. You know. Like we would all party, but at the same time, it was like, there was a little bit more of like, do I want to go pro kind of mentality? So those kids tended to not go quite as hard, quite as long. And then also of like, if you got arrested, you might get kicked off you know, there was that fear, but definitely different sports partied harder than other sports.
Well, like,
but I didn't really know any water polo people.
There's no so money like, in water polo. There's
yeah,
no,
so
like
there's no get, trajectory.
You could get like a college scholarship, but
then
there's
it ends
no
there.
Like
right.
money
That's
as
true.
A professional
so
water polo
So everyone's kind of knows like, well, we're not like headed. This is like a fun thing to keep me in shape and have a social aspect, but I'm not headed anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, dude, we had also like the culture, what we were doing was so different. Like we had a senior tradition called the Greenie Run that was like, when you were on varsity, if you were a junior, if you were on varsity as a senior, you got to do this event where you painted yourself green.
Okay.
You went into the school pool and all got into like your Speedos, and like the girls did it too. They all got into the, you know, our swimsuits for water polo and the little hats that we wear, and we would cover ourselves head to toe in green paint. We were the Samuel High Greenies. That was like the thing.
Oh, wow.
And the teachers would then leave and they'd go, okay, you guys have 30 minutes unsupervised to paint yourselves green. And that was the like 30 minute window to basically get as drunk as possible to then run around the pep rally painted green, hyping up like the school for the homecoming.
This is
football
just
game.
The swim team,
the water polo team,
the water polo team.
Yeah, and we'd run around. My school was like 4,000 people,
right,
and we had like a massive Greek theater.
But every year there'd be like, oh yeah, there's the they come out and
just the seniors during the day. This is like 1 p.m. at school, 30 minutes unattended to paint yourselves green and just get completely drunk.
So people would bring booze to school.
Yes.
As like that's the
in
moment.
In like Gatorade bottles. And you just do it. And then later at the high school homecoming football game, the juniors and the seniors on the varsity team would all paint themselves green together and the same shit would happen.
Was there anybody not into it? Kind of like, I don't want to do this whole green
Fuck
thing.
No, dude.
So
it was one of those like school traditions that had been happening for decades and you were being like inducted into it. And it was one of those things that was like, it's unspoken, but you're just fucking doing it. And it's like, it's a privilege. And like the only rule is like, you just don't want to be puking. But even if you were the kid doing it, it was like, you were like protected in a certain way. Like you never got in trouble for that because it was sort of like sanctioned.
Got it. Right. Yeah. It was like it's almost
your past. Like you kind of do whatever you want right now.
It's like you got to let the steam get blown out or else they're going to like revolt. It's like you got to like give them something.
You can't not have the greenie run.
You can't have the greenie run.
Okay, broads, interrupting the bros quickly. So the past few years, probiotic has become the buzziest buzzword in the health and wellness space, so much so that it became really unclear what they are, what source to get them from, and how they work. Turns out, as with most things, not all probiotics are created equal, but Seed is here to help make sense of it all with their daily symbiotic.
All right, you guys know I'm like the probiotic queen over here.
Yes,
and normally I poo-poo at pill probiotics. Dude, Seed is the real deal. I actually had a friend recommend them to me. Their daily symbiotic is a broad spectrum combo of probiotics and prebiotics, and the capsule has 24 strains that have been scientifically studied in these specific doses to ensure effectiveness. And even the capsule is unique and intentional because it protects the probiotic strains through digestion to make sure they get to your colon so they can start working. And other capsules on the market do not work that way, which is why you may have taken a probiotic pill before and you've never felt the difference. Seed is designed differently, and that is why it works.
Mm-hmm. And now to the best part, the benefits. Probiotics are known to support the gut, and of course, Seed does that. You'll notice reduction in bloating, ease of digestion, but there's so much more. Seed will also help support your gut barrier, skin health, heart, so many other parts of your body. I started taking Seed capsules maybe about 7-8 months ago, and I'm just so excited to see the difference, especially in my gut.
Yes.
My gut's been changed.
Heck yeah. Start a new healthy habit today. Visit seed.com/chatty and use code chatty to redeem 20% off your first month of Seed's daily symbiotic. That's seed.com/chatty and use code chatty.
So the CDC says we should all be eating 6 cups of fruit and vegetables a day. Six. Okay, that feels like a lot, even on days when I feel like I really got a lot of veggies and fruit in my day. Realistically, looking back, there's just no way that it's adding up to 6 cups. I'll be honest with you. It's a hard number to hit. But facts are facts. And according to the CDC, people who eat healthy experience all kinds of health benefits, longer life, less risk of disease. And even though I want to be healthy, I don't have the time or desire sometimes to down 6 cups of kale on a daily basis.
I get it. I get it. That's intense. But with the help of Field of Greens, you can easily get in your daily greens, because Field of Greens is a powder packed with a full spectrum of essential vegetables and fruits, plus science-backed herbs and prebiotics. Everything you need to stay healthy, paired with the convenience and ease of a powder that you can add to a glass of water, a smoothie, or whatever you feel like. And the powder dissolves easily, and it makes it super, super easy to get your body what it needs to feel its best.
Field of Greens works quick too, broads, okay? In just maybe a few days after you start incorporating it into your morning routine, you might notice that you have more energy, feel more ready to take on the day, okay? Now I can't go a morning without it.
Join us and take Field of Greens too. And to help you get started, we got you 15% off your first order, plus another 10% off. Whew, when you subscribe for reoccurring orders. So visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code chatty. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code chatty. fieldofgreens.com, promo code chatty.
What was your senior trip?
My senior trip? Like, what do you mean?
Did you guys have a senior trip?
I don't know what that is.
Like a lot of schools have, like, where the seniors kind of will put together an event. So some people go somewhere. If smaller schools will go overnight places. You know what I mean? Like we did Disneyland, and it was brutal. Because what they do during this, so Disneyland puts together this thing called like Senior Night, I think it's called. And literally like a bunch of schools will go there, and it's after hours. So Whoa. You get there at like 7 and you stay through the night, like
That's
all night.
Tight.
But then I fell asleep on a bench at 3 a.m. Like, you know, you're doing your thing and then you get tired and it's like 3 or 4 and you're just like, and I was like hanging with friends. And we were sitting on a bench and then I just woke up 2 hours later.
Were you drinking? Were you guys like,
well, yeah, but I'm just saying like, I was tired.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, and it's like 3 a.m. and you're in Disneyland and you're kind of like, it's fun. But at the same time, you're like,
sounds awful.
It sounded fun, you know, yeah. Like, oh, and then it's like, the reality of it is you're just exhausted and you're, it's 3 a.m. and you're like, it's cold and you're on a bench. You're like, why am I here?
It's not that tight.
It's not that tight.
No. Nah, I don't remember if we did anything like that. We had like a senior night.
So what about a senior prank?
Senior prank, our senior, well, the school really cracked down on the year before ours senior prank. Which was...
Because they went hard.
They went really hard. And it wasn't like a school-wide senior prank.
It was like the rambunctious
friends,
kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple... It was like 4 kids. It was really well orchestrated. But they broke into campus the night before with like full-blown like extendable like roller paintbrushes, and we have this like giant building. It was like 3 stories tall, and it had the like different school years over it, and it said like something like Samo High Vikings, and they changed it to say they rewrote the VI to say 07 Kings, and then drew a blunt coming out of the Viking's mouth and
painted.
Yeah.
So it had to be like redone.
Yeah, it was like a shitload of money for the school to redo it.
Thousands of dollars to like strip it and have a painter come out and like redo the art.
And they had those kids arrested. The whole thing, because it was so stupid what ended up happening, but they like showed up. Somehow the school found the fucking receipt for their paint cans or some shit.
Oh my gosh.
And then they take it back to the store and they found the like footage of them checking it out, and they like found the kids, but it was like 4 people, and it was just like the kid who orchestrated it became like a stock day trader and is like killing it.
Of course.
He was our drug dealer too. He's who put me on deck when I was in high school.
Wow.
selling ounces of weed.
You know what's so funny you say that? I was talking to a buddy today, and he was telling me about this drug dealer friend of his in high school. And he said, he's like, yeah, he was like the sketchy guy, and he would, but we were kind of homies a little bit, and he was trying to turn me onto Bitcoin in like,
what a good friend,
2012. And he's like, dude, but the only reason why the friend did the Bitcoin was drugs. So it was like, that's how the drug dealers paid each other for some people.
Now they're fucking rich, probably.
So check this out. So he goes, so this, you know, the drug dealer was trying to tell me about Bitcoin. He was kind of a burnout kid, but he was like kind of techie and he kind of knew something. And I was like, hey, man, you know, that sounds like some dark stuff for your drugs. They're like, hey, I'm not interested. He ran into the guy like 10 years later. He had like $40 million that he had cashed out of Bitcoin. He was like super wealthy and had like,
he's like, I tried to tell you, dude.
It's like, it's those just kids, funny to think of.
This
like,
is the thing is like those kids where you're like, that kid's a drug dealer when you're a teenager, and you're like, that's bad news.
He's an entrepreneur.
Exactly. Yeah. Not that every one of them is.
No, but like some of those guys are
a
like.
A good amount of them are bad influences and whatever.
But it's funny to think there are probably a good amount of kids in high school who are like drug dealers who just are like, well, this is an interesting way to like make money. And I'm going to like, I built this business and I'm just going to use that in my real life one day.
You do build a business. Dude, when I went into college, when I was selling drugs in college, we were been like, I like had sold in freshman year, and then I was like sophomore year, I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do this anymore. And then junior year, my friend who had been selling weed all through high school had continued like all afterwards, and was like, like, he ended up buying property for himself in Northern California and, like, started, like, a weed farm and all this shit. He was like, dude, like, I'll front you, like, a pound. And you can take as long as you want. You just owe me this much. And what he was going to give it to me for, I was like, bro, like, I could undercut everybody.
Right.
And I was like, fuck yeah, like, let's but do
you're
this.
Trying,
like,
you're trying to be a good guy.
I won't, you know, I was just like, I called my friends, and they were, at the time, the price of an eighth of weed at my college was $35. And I was like, I'll sell it to you for $20.
Right.
And all my friends who sold weed were like, fuck it. We don't need to sell weed anymore. They're like, $20 for an eighth? Like, who the fuck cares about selling weed anymore? And me and my buddy became the only 2 dealers on like, through our like, you know, 100 people. And we were just like, cool. We don't need to pay for our weed anymore.
Right.
Or
right.
like any of that. And it was just like, we took like the business. I mean, it's not complicated. It was just like supply and demand. If you can have a bigger supply and feed the demand and undercut the rest of the market, like, you take over.
Right.
That's basic business economics.
Of course.
That's all it is. That's but it so was funny. Like, you become, you know, you just start to think about other things like that, where you like look at other industries. I look at it all the exact same way, whether it's like T-shirts or whatever you're selling, you have the price you buy it for, and whatever the market price is that you sell it for, how can, if you buy in bulk, you get it for cheaper.
Right, right.
And you just have to have the demand.
Well, speaking of.
Yeah, speaking of supply and
demand.
We're
rocking the merch, baby.
Our merch is
actually
sick, dude.
As of this time, this episode dropping, the merch will have dropped. Or dropping in a couple hours, depending on when you're listening to this. this Friday, or this is Friday. Friday morning.
Friday.
It's gonna get merch on Friday. Gonna get merch on Friday.
Then what's your shirt say?
Mine says Chatty Bros in a dope, you know, spray painted kind of, you know, what would this be? Kind of mall art.
What is that? I was going to say, it reminds me of when like our friends would have like bar mitzvahs or like birthday parties and they had the airbrush guy.
It's, or it's like a, you know, like airbrush tees. Yeah, airbrush tees. Or it's like a mall, you know, photo. It has that look. It's a vibe.
And the sleeves too. Show them the sleeves.
Sleeves are fire. We got the,
sleeves are super fire. That's that's one of my favorite pieces.
Yeah, this is a great piece. And then yours.
Mine says, I'm a hoe for Chatty Bros. Which I think is so sick.
And then let me see the hat.
And the hat.
A pink cowboy hat that says Chatty Bros.
Sick vibes, Chatty Bros.
We got a couple pieces here too. Whatever.
We're so excited. I mean, dude, we got the rest
on the website. It's going to be sick.
We've been pumping this. We've been teasing this for a while, but I think
we dropped some photos today. And there's a tube top version of the I'm a Hoe for Chatty Bros, which is fire.
Yeah, it's sexy to say the least.
We got some hats.
We have thongs.
Thongs. Those are sick.
Fucking sick.
Those are so sick. I'm excited about this merch.
I'm super pumped. We have some Von Dutch inspired hats.
Yes, here.
Check this out, dude. Bringing the trucker hat back. Ashton Kutcher is fucking jealous as fuck. I'll tell you that.
He's quaking. He's quaking.
Yeah.
Sick.
Too bad, we're Ashton. Stoked. We fucking brought, you may have made it popular in 2003. Evan and I are making it popular in 2022. Too bad for you, Ashton.
We're stoked. But
our photo shoot's sick too.
Oh, the photo shoot's going to drop. We're going to show you some more photos. Or did we already drop those?
They've dropped, but they're going to see, today is the day they see the presidential suite.
The presidential
photo.
Suite. In the Vegas or no, Vegas later?
And well, Vegas came out.
Oh, not Vegas. Sorry. Private jet.
Yeah.
Anyway, check our Instagrams because they're up right now.
They're freaking tight, dude. The Vegas one, that was a really fun photo shoot.
It was fun. We just did it in the studio.
We did do it in
actually,
the studio.
Actually, no, we flew to Vegas and then we took the private jet and then we went to the presidential office. We hung out with Biden and we're like, hey, do you mind if we just take a couple shots here?
Kamala was like, I don't know. And Biden was just like, it's fine, dude.
Yeah, he was drinking Hams. It was actually crazy.
He listens. Mm-hmm. He's a bro. He's like, I've been drinking Hams since 1865.
Oh my gosh, dude. College is so weird to think about. Like, one of the things I think about college is like your willingness to live horrifically.
Yes.
Like just in filth, to eat horrific food, to like, you know what I mean? Like you're just okay with absolute debaucherous behavior in slime.
If you had $10 in college, would you save it for food or would you save it for beer?
But it's not even about that.
Answer the question.
No, beer, of course. But also it's like you would just save it for whatever sounds good in that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so for me, it's almost like it's more like a traveler.
Mm.
You know, it's like I'm here now, I landed here, and I don't really care about where I'm going next, but like, you know what sounds really good right now is a burger. How much money do I have? $8. How much is the burger? $6. Good, buy it. Like, there's not a thought of like I should probably save these $6. It's just like, no, rip it, baby.
This is like Eastern philosophy in a way of like live in the moment.
Very in the moment. College is very in the moment.
Very in the moment. That's probably the most like zen I'd ever been.
And then food was always, honestly, when I think of Grayston, I think of an eternal college guy.
Stop.
No, what I mean is like, I could just see you like you're still that way.
I loved college.
That's what I'm saying. You're still kind of that way. You're just like, dude, let's just be chilling, baby.
Just everybody chill.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just summer camp.
That's what I'm saying. I don't mean eternal college is like, you know, maybe you're still going to college. Well, I don't think you are, but I'm more like the vibe.
Like Van Wilder.
Yeah, or like Chris Farley when he's like, it's like, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm my seventh year. And he's like, wait, what?
I can't, honestly, if none of you know what we're even talking about, I feel so bad for you.
Oh, if you didn't go to college, you mean?
No, if like you're the movies we just referenced. Like if you haven't seen Van Wilder or what's the one with the Animal House?
I don't think I know that.
You
one.
Never saw Animal
no,
House,
I don't
National
think so.
Lampoon's Animal House, where it's who's one of the Blues Brothers? He chugs like a whole handle of Jack Daniels at once in this. You've never seen this movie?
No, I don't think so.
It sounds so bad if I'm trying to recap it and you haven't seen it.
You know what's so weird?
Animal House is a movie that would probably, it would be on the cancel list.
Oh, should dude, every movie during like our college era was like cancelable.
It's like
now.
70s or like 80s.
Oh, dude, all those movies.
Comedy
are
Central style, yeah. Like college frat movie. My school didn't have fraternities. My school was actually, my graduating class from high school was 4,000 kids. My graduating class from college was like 175.
Whoa.
Or my class total in high school is 4,000. The graduating class was 990 something.
Dude, mine's the opposite. My graduating
school
class
total was sub 2,000. It was like 17,500 in college. It was less than half the size of my high school.
Mine was the opposite. My graduating class was like 150 in high school because I went to a really small school. Mm-hmm. And then in college, it was like 5,000. I went to like a huge school.
Damn.
So it was like completely opposite. But
that's where my college felt like summer camp.
Okay.
Where it was like small.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
Grades were interacting. Like when I was one of my best friends when I was a freshman, his older brother was a junior. So we were going to all the like upperclassmen parties when we were freshmen. But like the school was small enough that it was like, you needed to integrate the other grades. Otherwise, you just hung out with the same people all the time and it just wasn't that
interesting.
Fun.
Mine was the opposite. It was like
cool for that.
Mine, my skill was huge. And like the, you know, I would sit in a lecture hall and it would literally be like a venue. Like it would go up like this and there would be 400 people in a class. And like, and you would just see people dwindle off depending on how hard the class was. You'd just start and then the next class would be a little bit less. And then like 2 months later, it's like half. And you know what I mean? Then you're taking a final and there's like four rows because it's just like so many people applying and then like so many people dropping out or getting rejected or it's too hard, whatever it was.
That's such a trip.
It was very different.
So being in a small school, my major was the smallest major in the entire school. So
what was your major?
It was religious studies.
That is fascinating to think you studied religion as a non-religious person growing up. Like that's so fascinating.
I wanted to go into political science and then I ended up, there were classes in the department that counted towards the poli-sci major and I had taken Bible as literature.
Like that is crazy dude, to think you studied Bible.
In
wow.
high school I took it. It was first semester was Bible as literature and the second semester was existentialism. So you'd read the Bible and then you'd read all these existential books, and then you'd sort of compare the two, which was really cool. It was like one of the more like life-changing classes I took. And then poli-sci was the most popular, like it was the most in-demand major at my college.
Makes sense because it goes to a lot of different places, lawyers,
so
whatever.
Of course,
yeah.
I didn't get on registering for class early, so I was just on like the wait list for everything. So I started taking these because I was like, well, the credits will still count towards poli-sci and I can get into those next semester. And I just started loving what I was doing because we weren't studying religion in terms of like theology.
Right.
We were studying formations of religion of like, we were looking at historical time and place. We were studying trade routes. We were studying politics. And we were looking at it like socioeconomically. Like what role was this playing? And why would this be written? What was the impact? Let's remove it from all of this and let's look at it on this like very fundamental level of crowd control. Let's look at it in terms of like these situations. And I was like, this is endlessly interesting. This is politics.
It sounds like your experience sounds like the literal opposite of mine in that like I went to school for 98% practical reasons and you went to college for like interesting reasons.
Oh, I literally had this epiphany when I was like, wait, my entire life in school has just been like spoon-fed without question. And college is the very first time in my entire life I get to decide what I'm going to learn.
Interesting.
And I remember I was like, I want to major in paleontology, which is studying dinosaur fossils. And I was really disappointed that my school didn't have that.
Dude, honestly, honestly, Broads, could you think of anything more Grayston than him going, dude, I want to study dinosaur bones.
I was like, Jurassic like that, Park, that, let's that, go.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, nothing is more you than being like, damn, you guys don't have paleontology.
I was so bummed.
I don't know why that so kills me, bummed. Dude. It's so funny.
And I was here like, I am being like, I can learn about anything I want. I was like, let's learn about velociraptors and stuff like that.
Love
I was like,
it,
this
dude.
Is tight.
That's fucking amazing.
But yeah, I wound up doing that. And then, yeah, I don't know. It was fun, dude. I had a lot of fun in college, but it felt like a summer camp. Like it really felt, we had 2 year on campus housing requirements. So freshman year, you got like, they assigned you a roommate. You had that whole experience of like, you're living with a random person or whatever. And it's like, you're on top of each other. Second year, you chose your roommate and you chose the building you wanted to live in. So all your buddies could decide to live in the same building together.
Yeah.
And it was like taking over an apartment complex with 30 of your homies. And it was just like, that was crazy. That was like legit frat houses on campus.
I don't have any.
Like a hippy dippy school.
I don't have any regrets except one.
What?
And it's that I didn't like focus on making college a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like working every night and then doing school in the day. I was just grinding. And I was kind of like, now that I look back, I go, man, I really kind of wasted those times being super practical instead of being like, dude, this is my time to kind of like fuck off, make mistakes, try things, like, you know what I mean? But I had it instilled in my head for such a long time that like you need to like work and be practical about college and all these things. And then it's funny because after I graduated, then I was like, oh, I don't want to do any of this. And then I went into music. You know what I mean? It's like,
I totally know.
I should have just at 18 been like, you know what I love to do? This. I'm going to go do this. So it's like, I'm grateful for like the work ethic that it taught me. But at the same time, I look back and I go, dude, like, it would have been so much more meaningful if I would have said like, forget the work, or not forget the work, but at least like lower the work level, pick a major that it just is so exciting to me, and then just like have a blast in there and really soak it in, you know?
I wish my regret is sort of, it's not quite the opposite.
We probably needed to find the middle ground a little bit more.
I needed to find more of the center ground. I partied a lot, and I think like, I mean, I did fine in school, but like, I could have taken school slightly more seriously.
To make it a little more quote worth it or whatever.
Yeah, because it was like my attitude in college was like, I'm hardly trying and I'm doing pretty good.
But it's an excuse and to have fun.
It wouldn't have taken much more for me to be like, I could have gotten straight A's.
Right.
But I was like content with like, well, I have a 3.6. Like, who cares?
3.6 is really good.
Yeah. But I was like,
it's 4.0 straight A's.
Yeah, but at a private school. I'm not like, you know, it wasn't like a, I think like at a private school, you also paying. So there's a sense.
They don't want to lose you. So
there's
like,
a sense like it's no, you know, sorry if you feel this way. But the truth is like, if you get a C at a private school, you might as well have been failing the class.
Dude, it's interesting because it's the opposite for me. When I was in school, my professor, literally, I remember my corporate finance professor, he walked in and he goes, all right, here's the deal. I have tenure. I have 2 more years on my contract. This class is really hard and I have not a care in the world to pass one of you. It does not matter to me. So it's hard, deal with it. There was 300 people in the class. I think there was 14 of us at the end. I had to pass, right? Because I couldn't afford like another semester or another. So I was like focused on passing and I had to grind to get it done. And it was really hard. But it's so funny, the opposite experience. Like he could have literally been like, I don't actually, it'll make my life easier if everyone fails, because at least I don't have to grade papers.
Dude, so I had this experience my senior year. I am applying for graduation, proving to the school that I deserve to graduate.
What do you mean applying for graduation?
You have to fucking show that you graduate. You have to show that like, hey, here's all the classes I took. Here's the credits I earned. Here's the departments, or here's the major departments that they apply towards.
Is that every school has to do that?
I don't know.
Or does it maybe?
My college.
Dude, are you kidding me?
Stop. It's not that much
that's
beer.
That's 3 for 3.
3 for 3? What do you mean 3 for 3?
Well, 2 weeks ago we did it.
Yeah.
Huge spill. Sitting
huge
on the blanket.
Huge spill. That was
didn't
embarrassing.
Didn't last week with Jess there was a spill?
I can't remember. No recall. Plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. So we had to be like, okay, like you're graduating. Like you're applying to graduate for that semester.
Okay.
And you have to get approved to be like, okay, here's all the classes I took and here's the credits I earned. Here's the grades I got in them.
Yeah.
And my advisor calls me in and he's like, you can't graduate. And I was like, why the fuck can I not graduate? You need like 132 credits in the department, some shit like that. And I was like, I have all the credits. And he's like, there's a class. It's like a foundational class of the major. It's called like, God, I just like this imprinted me. I like somehow remember this research and like development or something where it was like, you learn how to write a research paper. And he's like, you didn't take that class. And I was just like, Kugler, his name was Robert Kugler.
Kugs.
At the time, my first 2 years of college, he was the head of the department. They switched department heads every 2 years. The second, during my second 2 years, this other guy, Paul Powers, they were my two favorite professors. I took every class they taught at the school. I fucking loved them. So I was really close with them. They were also good friends. So they were switching off as department heads. They're both in the meeting with me and they're like, Grayston, like you didn't take, how did you get through here without taking research and development? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, we're reading research papers. I'm reading 2,000 pages of research papers a fucking week. I'm obviously picking up how to write them. I'm writing them with you guys. Like, you're whatever. Like, why would I need to take that class? And I was like, hold the phone. Secondly, every single...
By the way, guys, this is still a very hot topic for him.
This fucking grinds my gears. Because I was like, every single semester, I have to declare my major on like a piece of paper and submit my class list to you. And
do they not have computers?
Their job as my advisors is to ensure that my class list is in line with my major.
Do these people not have computers?
And I don't know. They have computers.
How is this not like their job, in a database?
But their job was to ensure that I'm on track to graduate from my major. And I was like, you fucking assholes are supposed to be the balance. You're supposed to check my dumbass to make sure I'm doing
it. You dumbasses need to check my dumbass to make sure our dumbasses are on the right track.
Exactly. And I was like, how the fuck did no one catch that I haven't taken the one class?
It's because you guys are submitting your files on paper and clearly they're like in the 1820s. So like, it's like, dude, everyone's like, I lost the paper. Where is your paper?
I was just like, guys, that's the whole point that we have the advisor. You're clearing me. Why would I need you guys to
be
like...
So what did they say?
Well, so what they did was, dude, it was such bullshit. They went
through, here it is.
They went through and they were like, well, you know, like, why don't we just count this class as, you know, literally.
Dude, you went to summer camp.
They were like, let's just count this class as that and we'll get you out of here.
Dude, this is summer camp. This is insane. I love that. I want to go. I want to go here.
They were my guys. And I was just like, I was just sitting with them and I was like, I was freaking out in their office. I was like, guys, like, I can't be here for another semester. Like, I can't fucking do this for another semester. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is a freshman class and y'all are about to make me
you're on your fifth year with the freshman.
You're going to make me come here for a fucking another year to take one course.
Would your parents would have been pissed?
My parents would have been so goddamn fucking
paying for
pissed
a full
at me.
Semester for you to
I
take
already
one
had
class.
To take a summer school semester to make up because I had partied so hard my freshman year that the second semester I got put on academic probation.
Yes,
because I went from earning like a 3.6 to a 1.8.
Yes,
party. But you know, to me, there was like that was the balances.
That's
you
the
had
balance.
To learn. I learned how to. You know, do whatever. Just like if I wanted to do these things, you had to learn how to balance your life in these ways. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if I look back on my college career, like I had fun. I had max amount of fun. No
that's
more
amazing.
Fun could be had. I definitely could have taken the extra step to be like, let's not fuck up my bibliography and get an A on that essay instead of a B+ because I chose to fuck up the bibliography.
By the way, bibliography is the most school-only word ever because bibliographies were such a thing. And then the second you stop doing school, you never use the word bibliography
but
again.
I have friends. I have one of my best friends is getting his doctorate from Harvard right now. And this motherfucker sends his, like, we all read his essays. We'll take his class lectures. Wow. We'll, like, he tests them out on all of us. Like,
that's
we're
awesome.
Super into it. He'll show us. His bibliographies are extensive. They're impressive.
They are extensive.
His footnotes are impressive. It's like, dude, it's kind of cool. I have respect, and you know, I get the esteem for like high level academia. Sure. Where I'm like, I think it's pretty cool. I think nerding out on that shit is tight.
So
I wish, and I went to a good college, and I just wish I had. That's the other thing, is I went to a fucking good school, and I wish I had taken it more seriously, because. Yeah. Education, like the price point we put on it in the States, I'm like, man, dude, I had a really cool exclusive opportunity. Yeah. And I basically was like, I'm just going to take mushrooms and run around the woods and drink beer, and school's secondary. And wow. I'm just like, man, you know, I could have had them both. One of them didn't need to be primary. They could have just been on equal pedestals. Hard for, you know, balance is hard, though. And mushrooms and stuff, they really do go together.
Just ripping burritos, you know what I mean?
Ripping burritos, dude, baby.
Burritos. Is there a better food?
I don't know. I have a hard time. Cheeseburgers and burritos are up there for me as like ultimates.
I was thinking about this the other day. Like.
You want another hams?
Yeah, let's do it.
What were you thinking about?
I was thinking about like desert island food. Uh-huh. And it's like, if you had to eat one food every day, it's only food you have. So this is delivered to you, or you have to buy it. But let's say it's delivered to you every single day, and you only have one option of eating. You cannot swap out the ingredients. You cannot do any of that. It just is what it is. I'd have to say that burritos would be my go-to.
What kind of meat?
Not because they're my most favorite even meal, maybe, but more just because I think I could eat a burrito every single day and be the most like, that was tasty. I would say it's a bean and cheese potato burrito.
What the fuck?
With maybe some carne asada or chicken in there.
A potato burrito?
Wait, you don't like potato in your burrito? Like a hash brown in a burrito?
Oh my God, you San Diego.
You don't like hash brown in a burrito?
Bra.
Absolutely. You don't like hash brown in a burrito?
I love a breakfast burrito, but Evan, let's get real here. I'm thinking of like a more... Oh God, there's ice cold hams.
No, because the potato kind of brings it to, has a little morning to it.
I don't disagree.
So you can kind of, I do like carne asada, potato, bean and cheese, and then maybe some like, you know, sour cream, whatever in there. And I think I could eat that every single day as my meal. I think like that would be, because like pizza is delicious, but I don't think I could eat pizza every day. I think it'd be like, oh, it's kind of gnarly, but a burrito every day.
So I had that big event this weekend. Yeah. I've worked since Monday till today. Every day.
Yeah.
Every single day I've had an al pastor burrito from the taco spot right across the street. Every day I go to work, that's what I have for
lunch. That's what I'm saying. That's amazing.
I think at the old climbing gym I worked at before I started mine, I also had an al pastor burrito every single day that I was on shift.
That's pork, yeah?
Yeah.
Burritos are incredible.
The other white meat.
The burritos are unbelievable.
They're my favorite.
So then, okay, let's talk about this.
Super simple. Beans, rice, little onions, yes. Cilantro, al pastor, little salsa, and no cheese.
And we feel bad for you non-Californian broads.
Dude, y'all don't get it.
I will say this. There is a difference, man. Like Southern California Mexican food is so superior. Different than any other in America. Even like Tex-Mex is different. Like Southern California
Arizona
Mexican
doesn't
food,
get it. New Mexico no doesn't one get it. Understands. Texas doesn't get it. San Francisco certainly doesn't understand what they're talking about at all.
We feel bad for you. We love you. And if you send us your address, we'll send you a burrito.
Nevada has no clue. I'm telling you, because you go into San Francisco and they put American cheese. They put shredded American cheese in the
things start to change.
What the fuck is that, dude?
Okay.
It's good. I won't lie, but that's Taco Bell.
Right, exactly.
They stole their recipe from Taco Bell.
Okay, broads, interrupting the bros. Once more, you all know that we love an accessory, okay? Any chance I get to add a little bit of something to an outfit, you can pretty much count me in. And lately, and kind of unexpectedly, I have been living for a watch moment. I have one on now, and I've got movement one on, okay? I mean, function meets fashion, and truly... You get a wristwatch, and I'm obsessed. One brand has really been impressing me lately when it comes to watches, and that is Movement, the watch I am wearing. They're amazing. Movement started in a tiny apartment in Southern California with one goal in mind, to create quality watches at fair prices.
Now, not only have they done that, but they've grown into one of the fastest growing watch brands in the world, shipping to over 160 countries. And I get why, because their watches are amazing.
Oh, yeah. The price paired with the quality of a movement watch is really unbeatable. For a watch of the same quality from any other brand, you could be paying upwards of $400 or $500 bucks. A movement watch is going to cost just a fraction of that. And Movement is able to offer quality watches at amazing prices because they own the entire process from start to finish. There's no outsourcing, which means tons of savings passed right on to you. And your watch ships right to your door for free. If you're not totally obsessed, you can ship it right back at no cost to you. I love not only their watches, but like their accessories, everything. They are truly a high quality brand. I've owned some of their pieces for years.
They are. And the accessories pair so well with the watches as well.
Yes.
I have this watch that I love that I'm wearing. I also just got the Dot 36 in caviar black, which is the most beautiful watch of all time. Seriously, it's sleek. Ugh. It's sexy. It's classic. It's definitely been my go-to accessory, especially when I'm going out. You know, tonight I am going out and I'm wearing a little black dress number with my sleek, sexy caviar black watch. It's so good. You just have to check out their collection. They're amazing.
If you want to elevate your look with style that doesn't break the bank, join the Movement and get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMT.com/chatty. That's MVMT.com/chatty.
So healthcare workers, as we've seen over the past 2 years, especially, are actual angels in human form. And you cannot convince me otherwise. OK, working around the clock in wild, unpredictable, often scary circumstances. Healthcare workers are amazing and they deserve a daily uniform that matches, which is exactly what FIGS is on a mission to do.
FIGS has completely taken over lately, you guys. I swear, my entire doctor's office, my dentist, my cat's vet, the team at the esthetician's office, they all wear FIGS. I see people all the time wearing them, just even on the street too. And I don't blame them because they are not the itchy, boxy scrubs of the past. FIGS are so cute. FIGS uses their innovative technical comfort technology to blend comfort, style, and durability into high performance scrubs that help you perform at your best, whatever the day throws at you.
That's the key with FIGS, the focus on functionality, which if you're working in any sort of medical field is essential. FIGS are all made with a four-way stretch fabric that makes them ridiculously comfortable, and they're moisture wicking, anti-wrinkle, and thanks to antimicrobial technology in the fabric, anti-odor. Plus, some of their styles have up to 20 pockets.
Wow.
20. FIGS scrubs come in a huge variety of colors. You can even get yours with a custom embroidery. I actually have a pair of FIGS. I bought one of their sports bras and their joggers, and they're so comfortable. I know that I'm not, you know, in this industry, but wow, they're comfy and wow, they're cute. I can vouch.
FIGS believes the awesome humans in healthcare deserve scrubs that match. So head to wearfigs.com and use code chatty to get 15% off your first order. That's WEARFIGS.com, promo code chatty for 15% off your first order.
So like, burrito, is that your desert island food too?
I don't know if it's my desert island food, dude. I think they're such good.
Same food every day, not changing any ingredient.
I mean, I eat a burrito every single day. So I don't know what to do about that. That might actually, that might be up there. Burrito, I prefer over tacos.
Yeah, I agree. Same.
I fully prefer it over tacos. I just rather smash the rice and beans all up. Yep. Into the burrito, then have it on the side. Even though I love a good taco platter, but the burrito is just superior.
Yeah, it doesn't compare. It's the bean and cheese. It's the bean and cheese.
Dude, I'm pouring the salsa on the burrito. Oh my God. With a little lime. Dude, my favorite.
So Desert Island.
I mean, my burrito, second burrito. Favorite meal is a cheeseburger.
Well, let's talk about this. So then what's your favorite meal? Birthday meal. You know, they go, oh, you know, eat whatever you want. We'll take you anywhere. Whatever you want to eat.
This is easy. Steak, macaroni and cheese, steamed broccoli.
Wow.
Easy.
Wow.
Easy. I've asked for that for my birthday. I think I don't know how many years in a row I've asked my mom to make me that meal. And then pie. Steak, macaroni,
dude,
and cheese.
That's just a straight up Oklahoma fest right there. Steak. That matches your hat right now.
Steak.
Give me a goddamn steak.
Mama, it's my birthday. I want steak, macaroni, and cheese. Give me a little bit of broccoli for my cholesterol. And I want some apple pie or pumpkin pie just the way you make
just
it.
Just the
okay,
way
mom?
Mama makes. Wait, so
with
that's
the extra
your
crust on top, mama. You got me?
So is that like your last meal?
Might be. my last meal.
Yeah.
Also, then there's some supplementaries like side dishes. Like sure. I would, if I had to do my last meal, it would be a massive. But
let's not
course
say
meal.
You can go this big. It's got to be like, I like what you chose. It's
okay,
three
so
piece.
That's my main course. Can I have a side dish?
But you already had two side dishes.
Sushi.
No, that's not a side. You don't have steak.
Surf and turf,
no.
bro. What are you talking you about? Can't do then that. Throw a lobster on top
yeah,
of the
exactly.
steak.
And then you throw in
throw
this.
Throw a lobster tail on top of the steak.
No,
call
you
got
so you so steak. Steak. Mac and cheese.
No
and
sauce
broccoli.
On the steak either. No like aiolis or any bullshit like that.
Just
I just want
up.
A fucking steak.
Wow. Like a nice filet mignon.
T-bone.
Oh, not like a T-bone, not filet mignon.
No, I'm like the filet mignon I'm not sold on. I would rather do like a dry aged porterhouse or like
wow.
something like a New York dry aged, just bone fucking
in.
Like barely raw.
Bone in?
Yeah.
Wow.
A T-bone, I'm like, there's something about... I loved as a kid, one of my favorite things in the world was gnawing the fat and sinew off the bone.
Sinew.
Fuck, dude, that was sick. When I was a kid, it's just like sitting there just fucking gnawing it off. That shit was tight. And then like really good mac and cheese where it's like real cheese baked into it. And there's like a little bit of crusties on top where it's like the cheese
oh,
is hardened.
Oh, with the little breadcrumbs?
No breadcrumbs. Okay. But I mean, I like the breadcrumbs on the mac and cheese, but I like when the top of it is baked so that it's like kind of like that plasticky kind of like crunch.
Oh my
gosh.
On
the noodles and the cheese. And then it's just that goop on the inside. These are what I'm talking about. Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Oh,
if so I could add to it, mashed potatoes and gravy, some creamed, maybe like some creamed spinach and then some broccoli. Creamed corn is fucking bomb too.
You know what I love? You know what I love?
Yeah, I love the like classic American, like Oklahoma fucking Nebraska.
You know what I love about mac and cheese?
Style.
Hot sauce. Game changer.
Cholula, dude.
Dude.
You know what I'm missing? Corn on the cob.
Sure.
The other thing, okay, get me this, my little country boy in my ass, fucking Indiana fish fries.
Oh, wow.
We would do like bluegill, catch a whole bunch of bluegill and do like big fish fries for the 4th of July.
Like fish sticks.
Dude, straight up. But you'd be doing like fish fillets and just fucking breading them, deep fry them and have just like baked yams, corn on the cob, fish fillets and a big ass fireworks show.
Wow, that
show.
Sounds amazing. Big ass fireworks
show. So fucking fun.
Mine is...
shoot some guns. Pa, pa.
In,
good time.
In Encinitas, there's a restaurant called La Papagaya.
I know about La Papagaya.
Because we had that, we talked
it's
about it.
It's so good.
Well, you've been there?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
It's really fucking good.
Did you go there after we talked about it?
No, my old coworker, my buddy Mikey, his fucking girlfriend is from Encinitas. And we went down there surfing and she took me to La Papagaya.
Dude, it's my favorite restaurant in the world.
It's like, really good.
It's my favorite. They have a paella there, which is like, you know, shrimp and fish mm-hmm. and chicken and the rice. And it is, dude, every time I go down there, I eat there. No questions asked. And they have bread that comes out with pesto and oil. It's insane. Like that is by far my favorite meal on planet Earth. No matter how good of steaks I've had and sushi and this and that, it's all great. La Papagaya is like a Mediterranean Latin kind of fusion place. It is my favorite restaurant. That's my last meal. They have bomb sangria. And I'm a big sangria guy too. See, so like those two things together, I'm set for life.
I'd say if you're looking for a good look, we're talking West LA steakhouse, Meat in Santa Monica. Meat. You go, their whole thing is they have a dry aged room.
Oh wow.
And so they dry age all the steak in this little room, but the way you order is they do like a big butcher paper menu and they just tell you all the dry ages that are available that day and you order it by the pound. And Whoa. You just like you order for the table and you don't order steak for yourself. You sit down with like 4 to 8 people and you're just like, "Okay, we need, you know, 4 pounds of steak." And you just look up on the menu and you're like, "We want that." And they bring it out and they just slice it on a butcher's
and then you just
block.
Take it as you want.
And it's dry aged, dude. So it's like, it's just like, it's like sushi steak. It melts in your
yeah.
mouth. It's
wow.
fucking crazy. I've never had, it's really good. And then all you do is order sides along with that. And they just do like really good cocktails, have a really solid wine selection.
I love that.
But that's been like a go-to birthday. I'm like that. That's what I want. That's what I'm.
I love that.
If
I mean,
we're going,
I
like,
love
if we're
those
talking
too. Don't get
about
me wrong.
These things. And there's a lot of other meals that, you know, make it high up on my list. I'm a big pho fan. You yeah. know, big ramen fan. I sure. cooked ramen as a job
like
for a while.
Good ramen is like insane.
I was a ramen chef for
that's,
a little bit.
I know, you're already saying that's amazing.
It's a, I mean, but like, you know, there's all that stuff, but up there for sure. Those are my desert island food might have to be burrito. Last meal would be the steak dinner for sure.
What's your favorite movie? Desert island movie.
All my movies are the exact same. I'll say it's whenever I ask my favorite movie, it's going to be the trifecta of
no,
Patriot,
one
Gladiator,
movie.
And freaking...
Oh, you are... wow.
Ah, you wouldn't know.
Just, you're a steak and eggs guy, dude. I love it.
Dude, Patriot, The Gladiator, and The Last Samurai. Fuck.
You can have three. You gotta have one.
I fucking... I don't know. What's your desert island movie? What are your favorite movies? Some of your favorite movies. Let's see them.
Okay. My favorite movie of all time is The Assassination of Jesse James.
Really?
With Brad Pitt.
I like that movie. It's kind of a downer.
I know. I don't know what it is. It just, it hits me in all these weird ways.
You like westerns? Like 310 to Yuma?
I do like those movies, yes.
Have you ever seen Lonesome Dove?
No. Yeah.
You should. It's a HBO miniseries of a book series.
And I just was rewatching this the other day, and I'm spacing on the name right now. Batman, what's his name?
Well, which Batman?
Christian Bale.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
One of his early movies, and I love this movie. It's early though, and it's a sci-fi movie. I want to get it here in a second. And it's one of my favorites. I always forget it because I always forget to watch it.
I mean, there's so many. When I think about like my favorite, I mean, this is the thing is, dude, I grew up. We start talking about like movies.
Equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever see Equilibrium?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's one of the greatest.
My thing is I've consumed. I mean, like, you remember, like all my friends
were in the movie business. Yeah.
They made movies.
So you
saw made entertainment.
So much.
We watched so much. And the way we watched movies with our family was like, talking about production, talking about who's involved, who produced it, who's what the direction is.
By the way, I love that you know what I'm talking about. Whenever I tell people The Assassination of Jesse James is my favorite movie, people are always like, what is that? And the fact that you're like, oh, dude, good film, slow, Brad Pitt. I'm like, holy shit, you do know movies. Because most people don't even know what that movie is.
I mean, I love Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt is one of my favorite movie stars.
He's a real movie star.
Yeah.
There's not many left.
He's a legit movie star. Young Brad Pitt, too, is just so tight to me. But fuck, dude. I'm like, when you talk about movies, it's like some of my favorite movies are straight up like Dumb and Dumber is one of my favorite movies.
But I think
I like peed my pants laughing at Dumb and Dumber. The Pink Panther movies.
But you
got to
take into it. You got to take, because we're talking Desert Island movie. You got to take into account. You're going to watch it. This is the only movie you have. So it can't, you know what I mean? You have to be careful. That's why I want Assassination of Jesse James is because it is slow. I don't want a fast-paced movie because I'm going to get bored with it quick. That's my mentality on it.
Yeah, but when you talk about like, okay, if you were to go into the Western genre of movies, I'm like, to settle on The Assassination of Jesse James, I'm like, dude,
I didn't say it was the best. I like it the most.
I know, but have you seen the spaghetti westerns?
Oh, yeah. They're amazing.
The Sergio Leone movies.
I've seen Once Upon a Time in the West. But I've seen some of them.
See, that's where I'm like, I would not be able to.
All I can do is pull from my experience. And my experience is valid and my feelings are valid. Favorite show as a kid?
Fucking Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z?
Hell
yeah.
That
was your go-to?
Easy, hands down, dude. I still think about Goku and Gohan, all they had to overcome.
Mine was Power Rangers.
Oh, hell yeah.
Power Rangers. And it's funny because the other day we turned on like a modern Power Rangers a little bit and Emma was like so into it. And I was like, dude, this is genetic because I was obsessed. My mom was telling me the other day about the story that when I found out, she's like, you went to this friend's house and you came back and it was like you had seen God. And you were just like, Mom, I got to tell you about this thing I saw. And it was like a 4-year love, you know, for Power Rangers. It was like I was buying the gear. I would visit like video stores where like they were doing like a signing. Like I was obsessed with Power Rangers. I had the swords.
What was the wizard's name? The dude who lived in like the crystal?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
What was his name?
Or the robot, whatever their robot
name
was.
They look so bad, too. Looking back, it's like they're literally...
It's a dude in a suit with like a robot
head. It's so bad, too, because like the costumes are so bad. They
Zobron.
Move. They move. They're like literally like made of like fuzz. So the guy will move and his head will go like this.
I'm pretty sure his name is like Zobron or some shit like
that. Yeah, he was like corny too. He was really like, let's get him.
I dressed as Power Rangers for a long time. Tommy was my dude.
That was your dude.
Jason, Tommy. You know, Billy. Okay, here's a sidetrack. Billy the Blue Ranger came to our school when we were freshmen.
Yes. Wait, in high school?
Yeah, in high school. And he spoke to our class about bullying. He was an anti-bully speaker and he was traveling around as that, and it was the whole thing was he had
chill. I was a Power Ranger.
So sensitive. You know what? I'm going to warn everyone. We're going to warn you. This is, we're going to talk about some stuff right now. Billy the Power Ranger came to our school to talk about how he was bullied for being gay on the set of Power Rangers.
Really?
Yeah, because he was gay, and the other Power Rangers, basically, he's like, you know, I had to quit the show because they would make fun of me and be like, oh, like you kick like a girl and all this kind of stuff. And they'd tease him. And he came to our high school and was talking to us about this, except like I felt bad because at the time he came to our school, it was like he was being bullied all over again.
That's what I was going to say. But high school students can't
handle,
especially back
dude.
In the day. Kids are like way more aware now of like this kind of stuff. But like back in like mid-2000s, kids were not like...
We were not, dude.
No one was like aware of like how ignorant they were.
This was some shit I've talked about with Beck a lot, because Beck is born in 95. I'm born in 89. What year were you born?
88.
Yeah. We grew up where it was like...
Very different.
Dude, we're the end of like...
The real,
oh my god,
ignorant
there's
shit.
There's no sensitivity to what we were like.
There was no like sensitivity toward people's feelings. There wasn't interest in like being understanding.
No.
It was like, this is how shit is and get in or get out.
So I thought it was fucked up that he had to, what I thought was fucked up, maybe this is a Libra in me, that I was like, your coworkers shouldn't be doing that. They should be supporting you. They shouldn't be laughing, or they shouldn't be teasing you in this way. What I thought was funny was I was like, really? I was like, they said you kicked like a girl. I was like, that's some Sandlot shit where they're like, you play ball like a girl. And I was like, these are like 30-year-old men.
30-year-old like professional actors on like their 10th season.
Yeah, the Power Rangers.
Like, you guys are all like, wealthy. Like, what is
the
happening?
Insults we're throwing around?
That is insane to think that men and women in the show, they take off their like children's outfits while they're playing silly
spandex
children
onesie.
And then mocking someone.
I actually thought it was like kind of insane because I was also like, Hollywood, if there was any place to be safe in the 90s,
it's Hollywood.
But then I was like, if there was ever an unsafe place, it's a bunch of actors who realize they're trapped.
They're insecure.
Into being
they're
on a
super
fucking
insecure.
Horrible kids action show.
No one takes them seriously.
That's
no
just
one gives
a
them
step
other.
Step up from Barney, because like you just have a sick toy
actually,
fucking franchise.
Barney's way more of a legend.
Barney, dude, we still sing Barney songs. Clean up, clean up. Everybody, dun, 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 dun.
Everybody, do your that's a great song.
Everybody, do
Ember
your
doesn't
share.
Really like that song because she doesn't.
Kids
agree.
Don't like to clean up, dude.
Dude, she is. She's the worst cleaner of all time.
Ruth is a hard hands down. Ruth and Ember are fucking peas in a pod.
Like I'll literally just walk in and be like, "I cleaned up," and I'm like, "No, you shoved some things in a corner."
Oh, Ruth is she shoves it under her bed. Ruth will be like, Ruth will make a massive mess, running all over her room, doing this like happy weird run where she just is like,
right, just chaos.
And I'm like, "Hey, like you need to help me clean up, or we're not gonna do like you know whatever.
Fun
you're
stuff.
Not gonna have a chocolate. You're not gonna have a cookie. We're not gonna watch Thomas the Train. We're not gonna do these things." And she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Yeah, like we got to sit down and clean up." She goes, "Well, my neck hurts."
Oh, classic.
And I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me, dude?"
Ember does the thing where right before bed, if she doesn't want to go to bed, you know, she won't say she doesn't go to bed. She'll be like, "Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go to, you know," I'll be like, "It's time to go to bed." She's like, "Okay, I'm getting all ready." And she's right, we're in bed. And she just goes, "Oh, my leg is, oh my, the cramps are so bad. Oh, oh." And she's like wrenching in pain. And I look at her and I go, 10 seconds ago, you were fine. She goes, I don't know what's going on. It's just, it's so bad. You know, and then all of a sudden we'll work on the leg, you know, and then I'll get called in 40 minutes later.
And she's
just like, my throat is so raw. Dude, and I'm just like, dude, I know what's going on in here.
It does the same exact shit.
They're smart.
I don't.
Oh, are you ready for this?
But it's cute is the thing is like, the reason they keep doing it is because when they're little and they're like, my neck hurts. It hurts.
Well, it
and
works.
You're like,
it
oh,
works.
It's so cute. Let me rub your little neck, you little desperate little baby.
I got a great story. Check this out. Other day, my parents watch Amber. I call them up. I'm like, I just have too much work. Jess is out of town. Like, I need someone to help me. I need like a day. So they come. I drive down there. I drop her off. They take her for the day. I pick her up
it's
the
like
next.
It's like a 2-hour turnaround for you.
Dude, seriously. But whatever. It's something. So I get down there, they take her, I come back the next day, and they're like, we got to tell you this story that happened. And I was like, what? They're like, we're outside of Costco, and next to Costco is like a, I don't know, toy store or something like that. And she goes, can we go into that store?
Your parents live in Long Beach still?
No, they live in San Clemente.
Okay.
And they're like, can we go to that? She goes, can I go to that toy store? And my parents go, no, we got to go. She goes, please, please. And she does this like lip out thing. And my parents go, okay, fine, let's go. And she goes, yes, I love begging. It works every time. Plus, I'm an only child. I mean, my dad said, he's like, the honesty and the just smarts of what happened in front of me. He goes, I was so far from actually being disappointed or angry or frustrated or anything. He's like, I respected it so much that I just was like, I almost like lost the inability to say no or yes. We just walked in, we bought her a toy because it was like. It was funny because it's like she has these moments where it's like it's almost like she's an adult playing the role of a child and forgets that she's a child and like lets down her acting for a second. Like the fact that she just outed herself. It's like, oh, I have this incredible manipulation tactic that works every time. And then she just for a second goes, oh, shoot, I didn't mean to say that. I shouldn't have said that. I outed myself. Straight up said, like, I'm aware that I'm an only child. I'm aware that I can get special treatment because of that. And I'm also aware that like certain types of begging really works. I mean, that's what like Ember's so smart and she really is like the sweetest kid ever. She doesn't have that like real ornery side. So she doesn't have the troublemaker side that a lot of kids do. But what she does have is just an extreme level of like she knows when we're weak. She knows when we're tired. And she goes, I can sense they're tired. They've been overworked. They're talking about how tired work has been for them. Hey, you guys, you don't mind if I do this thing, right? I can have another chocolate, right? Oh, sure. Okay, cool. Like, I got, they're weak right now. I'm not going to strike when they're hot. They're not going to strike when they're strong.
She's gonna find her opening.
Dude, she finds her opening.
Oh, man. Like a little assassin.
Could you believe that? Jesus. And plus, I'm an only child.
Oh my God.
Oh,
we talk
my
about
God.
When Ruth and Frank are separated for like a day or two.
Yeah.
The sort of like Frank, the happiness Frank has to just play with the toys.
Oh, all
and
her
not
toys
have
or
Ruth
whatever.
Take all the toys.
Oh, does she have? Is she a toy taker?
Ruth does the like, Ruth doesn't even know a toy exists until Frank is having a good
classic.
And then it's,
I need that toy. And it's like, no, he just picked it up.
And then she takes it from Frank. And then if Frank comes to get the toy, she just like smacks Frank in the head. And you're just like, bro, like, no, you
She's
can't.
She's like, there's
do
a
that.
Hierarchy here.
But there's also a thing where it's like, when you're reading, like, you know, with siblings, like, you can't. They have to learn how to solve, but not really solve. They have to learn how to navigate these situations. You can't intervene every single time it happens. Otherwise, yeah. They never learn the coping tools or like, you know, they just never learn how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So you just have to let them, you just have to sometimes sit back and watch them.
Let them figure it out. Freaking like let him stick up for himself a little bit.
Hardest things to do, I think, as a parent is to just like let your kid figure it out. Mm. Even if it's like they fell down or whatever, but just allowing them the space to process and just navigate their emotions and all that. But it's just like, dude, when Ruth is constantly taking his toys and all that, I can't help but sympathize with the little guy.
Well, you're also like the Libra thing. Jess is the same way. It's like justice must be served. And so probably for you, there's like a sense of like, this is unjust. Like mine for Ember is like letting her be bored.
Oh, I definitely.
That's where I'm working more on that. Served. It doesn't, I think because I was raised in a household where like justice was absolutely not served. Mm-hmm. So like, I was also just like, I'm also not a Libra, but I'm
Batman
also like,
was a Libra.
The letting Ember be bored. That's a hard one for me. Not hard, but like, you know, I want her to have fun and I'm always kind of like thinking, oh, I want to get her entertained for some reason. I think probably because it makes my life easier if she's entertained. That's the reality of it. But there also is a side of like, you know, I don't know. I feel bad if she's like sitting around or whatever, but it's so good for her because I think about how much boredom created in me creativity and ideas. And, you know, like when I'm constantly stimulated, my brain kind of shuts off. But when I don't have anything to do, your brain kind of starts to go, oh, what about this? What about
this? Well, dude, that's where the absence of screens for these kids is like so fucking important. Sure. Of just being like allowing them to like, I think it's really hard to like, I mean, the truth is it's about 5 to 15 minutes of patience with yourself to just let your kid annoy the fucking shit out of you.
Yeah, because
so that you don't just give in and put on TV for them.
Which can be tempting, man.
Game. It's so tempting because 15 minutes can feel like 5 hours sometimes.
Especially when you come home from like a long day of work and you're trying to like trying to chill for a second. And the kids,
and I know, excuse me, I know it's like my kids are toddlers. So like it's a lot easier to just be like their world is really fun. As I get older, it's harder, but it's like it really is just patience with yourself more than anything of like let them freak the fuck out and then they'll go entertain themselves because they're a little kid and their imagination is active. It's not dead like ours are as adults. Theirs is insanely active.
That's what I found.
And they'll fill that time if you just let them do it, and they'll get better and better and better at it if you don't intervene. Like that's the truth.
That's where I struggle though. Is like she's gotten older. Mm-hmm. She's smarter now. She needs more like depth to the playing. She needs more depth to the options. So it becomes a little more challenging where it's like, I can't really blow her mind with the simple stuff anymore. It's like,
get her a video camera.
Oh no. So she has a camera. She has multiple things like that. She has drawing boards and all stuff. So she loves it. But it's interesting. Because Ember's number one love language is like social interaction. She loves like going to the park with four friends is like literally she's in heaven. You know, so
I can't believe you just said Ember's number one love language is look how far you've come.
I know therapy. just from the last week. From
I
doing
just
love
started
languages.
A new therapist.
You know what? I haven't done therapy in like 2.5 weeks. And that's the longest I've gone in like 4 months. And I miss it.
Do you feel lost? Do you feel unhinged?
You know what's funny? I find myself, and this is very like classic, but I usually don't think this way. But since I stopped therapy in the last 2.5, 3 weeks, I've thought to myself, I wonder what my therapist would think about this.
Stop it.
I know. Because this guy I talked to, like, he's such a good sounding board for me that, like, I want to talk. There's an issue going on with me that I'm like, I want to talk to him about. I'm interested in his thoughts.
You know what I loved? I started a new therapist. She's going to be an EMDR brain spotting therapist. Because I need special attention. I need some special
shit.
That's
I'm a
special
that's
case.
Very different. Yeah.
Yeah. I need some. I'm really fucked up. Not actually, though, but I just need, you know, for me to break through, I'm going to need some really intense stuff.
Some really, really intense.
She explained the term toxic masculinity to me for the first time in a way that I actually understood it. It's kind of interesting. It was almost whatever.
That's fascinating.
It was fascinating. I was going to bring it up for us, but we don't have to go there. But
let's go into it next week, maybe.
We can. Do you know what it
means?
Because
we're kind of done right now.
Do you know what
it
means? Because I had no idea. She was like, are you familiar with this term? And I was like, I mean, I've heard it 1 million times.
Let's see. It's been directed towards me from a certain person, but I don't know what they're talking about.
Understand it.
I would guess, if I could guess what toxic masculinity, like an actual meaning versus like my interpretation or whatever.
Yeah.
I would think it has to do with almost like a male privilege type thing where it's like, I'm using my, the way I interface in the world is different than other people. So therefore I kind of like am elitist with how I operate and kind of like, you should just basically it's my world. You're living in it kind of situation. No,
nope.
Okay.
So at least not how she described it.
How'd she describe it?
She described it's about, male masculine stereotypes that men apply to themselves that are actually toxic to the male identity.
Oh, or
the
okay.
masculine identity.
So it's like living up to a name.
So ideas like showing emotion is weak and makes you a pussy is like toxic masculinity.
Oh, interesting.
It's like toxic to like our masculinity.
Versus your...
Being like, actually, being able to admit vulnerability is extremely masculine.
Okay.
Trying to put up a shield and say that, you know, like
no,
you're impervious
not.
To feelings
no, it's
is
not.
Toxic to your masculine. Exactly.
Right.
That's what she, and I was like, oh, interesting. Because we were going
Power
through,
Rangers should have heard that.
She was like, you know, your stuff. She's like, do you have trauma in your life? And I was like, I mean, I wouldn't really describe it as trauma. I would just be like, it's life. Everyone has life. Life is hard. And this is what happens. And like, everyone has things that happen to them. If it's not what happened to me, it could be all these other situations that happen to everybody. So why am I going to get down and feel bad about myself and throw a pity party for myself and be like, oh, I need all this special attention. When really it's like, pull yourself up and fucking deal with it. And she's like, yeah, you know, like, I really think like we should explore like this concept of like making space for yourself and these things of like, it's okay to like, yeah. And it was like, she was talking to me about this and I was like, you know, no one's ever really like, explained it that way. And
my therapist
like,
never
actually
said,
really interesting.
Yeah, my therapist never said toxic masculinity, the words, but that's been a big part of mine is like, I'd always kind of dismiss problems as like, well, you know, it is what it is, or people have it much worse than I do, so therefore I can't talk about
this.
It was
this. Pretty much, I mean, I was like, dude, one of the kids that works for me, like, he's 19, and I was like, you know, his dad 3 weeks ago was fine. They just pulled the plug on him. He wound up in the ICU randomly. They just had to pull the plug on him. His dad's dead now. And I was just like, the kid's 19 years old. And like, we're out, he's all freaking out about asking for a couple weeks off of work. And we're like, dude, whatever. Like,
whatever
take
you need,
as much time as you need. And it's just like, nothing I have going on
is that
compares.
Bad.
So what am I, why would I ever even make room for what I feel?
But that's not how life works, right?
No,
there's not like a balance where it's like you have to go in and check to make
granted,
sure that your feelings are valid.
Granted, broads, this is not the, you know, all the, you know, this is not the all encompassing definition of toxic masculinity.
This is
how my therapist relayed it to me, and I'm simply restating what she said.
Yeah, this isn't like the only definition. This is
but
like
it
the
hit
definition
home for me.
You needed to hear this side of
the
it.
The way
yeah.
she explained it hit home for me, and I really appreciated it. It was a nice moment where I could like sit and reflect on these things of like, I can still allow time for me to feel things, even though maybe other people are feeling things differently or they're going through different things. Anyway, it was just like, I was like, wow, that's a nice little, it made me think about it differently and be like, dude, holy shit. Like,
uh-huh. Oh dude,
all this stuff in my life of like stuff my mom has said to me where I'm like, you are like, you know, you mother.
Yeah. No, dude, honestly, it's funny. I never talked about my parents or I never talked about childhood stuff. And then the second I started all this, I realized like I'm talking about it like the whole time. And it's like, whoa. Like,
dude, she asked me about childhood and I was like, what do you mean about my childhood? My childhood was 30 years ago. I was like, why would we talk about
like
my childhood?
Ex. Like an old ex.
I was like, what do you mean? I was a child until I was 2 years old.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Why would I talk about
that? I was working
that?
At one.
What matters that that was then, dude? This is, we're talking about now. Why would we talk about that stuff?
Oh my God. Help us. Well, the merch has dropped.
Yo, support us. Support our journey by buying our merch.
You know what? Please, please take pictures in the merch and send it.
Yo, for real. Also,
that would be fire to repost a bunch of people in these shirts because we are so pumped on
also,
them.
Dude, we have sick... you know, if you are a supportive broad bro and you bought Broad's merch, we did something. We sent an email to you. If you previously purchased merchandise, we sent you a promotional discount because we appreciate your prayer support. And anyway, you have a promotional discount in your email.
We love
you.
Check
your spam. We sent it just to you, just for you.
Just for you.
So check that out. Don't miss it.
Peace and love.
We've been teasing this merch for a really long time.
We're super stoked. We had a blast shooting it. The merch is fire.
We had so much fun.
Yeah, it's really fun merch too. I think that's the difference too, is like ours is just really fun. And I think you guys are going to have a blast getting it and like taking pictures in it.
Yeah, I think it's a good time. Merch, the Broad's merch is not fun. Our merch is fun. But also, merch, if you're not a fun person, some of the Broad's merch is still up there. So
if you're not fun, you probably wouldn't like this. So
no,
don't have fun.
Yeah. If you're fun, though, you'd like it. And your friends would probably like it, too. And they'd probably think you were fun if you wore it.
And if you're not fun, maybe get the merch so that you become fun.
It's also bachelorette party vibes, which I think is tight.
It is, absolutely. Anyway, we love you guys. Take pics of the merch.
Thank you so much.
We'd love to see it. And we will see you next week. Mr. Wayne, next week we will see you. Peace and love.
I'll always return, Mr. Wayne. Ra's al Ghul never dies.
Chat soon.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.